It's September 23rd, 2022. It's early afternoon. I just want to try to get a few scattered thoughts organized enough to capture them in a recording. So I was listening to a previous audio note today about basically about game theory and engaging people in understanding the game. Well, it's on the heels of another article I read that I think the title of one of the books was You're Being Played. And it's about the gamification was the term that they used to describe how people's behaviors, it's really about behavior modification, are being guided and exploited by experiments and, well, really by the results and what's been learned by experiments in the field of behaviorism. But what started to correlate with some of my previous concepts was one thing I was thinking about the temperament and how, you know, I've been talking kind of like how the temperament to me could be or is in my modeling related to a template. So it's basically a basic pattern from which you start, and that's kind of how I see template and how it relates to temperament. And so in one of my process models, I talk about the inherent form or the natural form. So the natural form, the conditioned form, and the emergent form. And so that inherent or natural form is what I refer to as, in my notes, as your basic or natural temperament. So that's the natural form. And then we're conditioned. We're somewhat conditioned by the environment. So the inherent system that we inherit by being born into the human condition, we're conditioned. I call it conditioned entanglement. It has to do with boundary conditions. So we're somewhat conditioned by that, but even more so, we're conditioned by entangled conditioning, which is that we share this world with many other individual entities, and we're constantly, like scripture says, iron sharpens iron. We're constantly conditioning each other. And if there is growth and evolution for the individual, and of course collectively as a species, then we enter into the realm of emergence. We become emergent. Well, then I realized, of course, you know, this is always a cycle, and we cycle back from emergence to the natural form. The essence of being is becoming. We become, that's the process, and we emerge, and then we exist in being. Well, it also related, this is part of what I correlated, it also relates to the extraordinary becomes ordinary, because this is my own personal experience, when we emerge, it's an extraordinary event, awakening awareness, an expanding consciousness. But then the extraordinary becomes ordinary. Once that process cycle has completed, that is our presence in being. We are now in that state of being, and it becomes ordinary. But of course, that always opens us up to the possibility, if not the probability, of future growth. And I had talked about that in a previous recording where, you know, it's like when you're going through that process and it's and you're having that peak, that command performance and that peak experience, you want it to continue, but of course it doesn't. Again, that's the emergence, and it is extraordinary. At least in my experience, it has been extraordinary. But then you kind of cycle back to the ordinary. You carry on with your day-to-day routines. Now, the principles and priorities that your life revolve around may have evolved. It's what I call a conversion cascade, but you still fall into the routine. So another thing I correlated this to in while I was processing this new organizational modeling from reading these two articles, it also related to the current frame of reference, which I've likened to a crustacean, meaning, so a crustacean which has an exoskeletal structure, it can't grow past the confines or limits of that exoskeleton until it sloughs off that old shell and grows a new shell that provides for or enables further growth. So that's really what I'm referring to when I talk about conversion cascade. As a result of our growth, that those principles of priorities, our standards, the standards that our lives revolve around and through which we project recurring patterns, they evolve, they change, at least to some degree. And so this process enables, again, we cycle back to the natural form, and our natural form is, in my modeling, infinite potential, infinite possibility. That is our natural form. What does that equate to? Well, it equates to further room for growth and development. And really, you know, a lot of this is I'm kind of trying to stitch this together because I was looking at refining my approach to the delivery of the presentation of the Master's Craft. So what is the Master's Craft really about? Well, what it's really about is, it's kind of like going back to the Wizard of Oz and that event where they're in front of this display being put on by the wizard to show his power, and Toto pulls back the curtain and reveals the man behind the curtain. And I've said this, you know, before, I got a peek behind the curtain, or what I sometimes refer to as a peek behind the veil complexity. And so the Master's Craft, like he said, the wizard said to Dorothy, you know, I'm the wizard. And she said, I don't believe you. And he said, I'm afraid it's true. I'm the only wizard there is. What did he do? Let's just, you know, kind of correlate that with what I'm referring to as the Master's Craft. What did he do? What he did, and specifically in the case of the three companions of Dorothy, he gifted them token gifts. These were in the form, I think, for Scarecrow. It was a diploma, if I'm remembering correctly. For the Tin Man, I think it was a watch in the shape of a heart. And for the Lion, it was a medal of bravery or courage. But each of these were meant to awaken something that lied dormant within each of them, a potential. And so really, if you come right, if I'm coming right down to what I mean by the master's craft, that's it. It's a mentorship. In the past, I've said I'm trying to share the best of what's been shared with me and what I have discovered and formulated through my own quest of this discipline. And really, in the end, it's leaving the legacy. I want to leave the best that I can for others who may be on a quest of their own personal curiosity or interest to be able to find the treasure that I've left for them to discover. The work's never done, and so each person who works in the craft and later works on the craft and advances the craft, that becomes the foundation for the next in the chain of custody. And so that would be my greatest wish, that those who wish to carry on the work can have easy access to what I've been able to formulate and leave as my legacy for others to discover. Can't really think of anything else off the top of my head that I wanted to get into this recording. I mainly wanted to, I guess in closing, the main thing I want to make sure that I accomplish in the very first presentation is disclosure. I feel as though as a standard to raise myself up to, I want to be as open and direct as possible with what my intent is. And in order to mentor others and in order for, sharing what I share that can act as a token trigger to awaken something within them that lies dormant, in the end, what my intent is conversion. And I want individuals, I wish for them to know that in the very beginning, before they go any further in the material. It's not that, I'm trying to remember how I said it. It's, I'm not trying to convince anyone to believe what I'm offering, because something that's believed is just as easily disbelieved and therefore discarded. What I'm hoping to clearly express to others is an invitation to consider it and to experiment with it and make observations and come to a certainty on their own, not to take me and what I present through my words or my actions and act on them without self-discovery. So really what I'm inviting them to do is explore. It's a cycle of self-exploration, self-discovery, and self-actualization. And what happens at that event, the occasion of self-actualization, command performances, and peak experiences. So the beginning of the cycle is we get stirred up. There's impact statements. Impact imparts excitation. We become excited. We go through that process of self-exploration. And when I say self, I'm also really referring to the world around us. We're part and parcel. And what's at the end? We get stirred up. At the end, we return to a state of rest. And again, this is that cycle of the extraordinary becomes ordinary. In that rest, we go back to that state of being in our natural form. Yes, we have evolved, but we've evolved to a new state and embodied that potential, that possibility that has become awakened within us. All right, that's all for now. Signing off.